You've probably watched YouTube at some point, even if it's just to see an old music video or a cat doing anything. But as YouTube ages, its leaders have decided to branch out into the very competitive environment of companies and video streaming services that are trying to lure even more people away from cable TV. So what's in it for YouTube and viewers? With me to talk about that is Clint Finley, writer for Wired magazine. Clint, what specifically is the YouTube offering going to look like?
So YouTube is going to be offering, it's not available yet, a $35 a month live television service that you can watch online on a computer, a mobile device, or if you have a device from Google called a Chromecast, you can watch it on a television as well. It's about 40 different channels, including local channels, ESPN, a few cable channels, some cable channels are conspicuously missing, like CNN. So it's kind of a mixed bag in terms of the channels that are available.
So how does this fit with what people are already able to get, both in terms of the potential price point you talked about and in terms of the offerings? Like you mentioned, if CNN's not there, there are some of the basics which may not even be there.
Well, it depends on what you consider the basics, obviously, but there's a whole bunch of other offerings out there already that are similar. AT&T has DirecTV Now. PlayStation has something called View. The Dish Network has something called Sling TV. And each of them have, you know, their own kind of bundle of channels and available for different prices. There's kind of pros and cons to each. I think PlayStation View, for example, is missing all the Viacom channels. Sling is missing CBS. And it's just sort of, it's all over the place as to what you can or can't get in each one. Pricing for YouTube TV is slightly less than most of them, but kind of in the ballpark for what you would expect out of these packages right now.
What do you see as the demographic for this?
I would expect younger people, what people will call millennials these days. You know, so there's this notion of cord cutters and then the idea of cord nevers. So essentially cord nevers are people who have never had pay TV. So the hope is maybe to attract some of those types of people with these low-cost services.
Where would you characterize the whole picture at? Because we've seen so many technological advances. But I remember I lived in Silicon Valley for a time in the mid to late 90s. And I remember, boy, there were startups going crazy about the set-top box and we're going to have all these options. And one would think by this point in time, maybe we wouldn't still have the set-top box, the clunkiness of that, and yet a lot of options still have that. Is that going to go away at some point?
I do expect it to go away at some point, but you know the reason it's stuck around and the reason that that there's so much of this where what is available on each of these different services varies is that the negotiation processes with all the different broadcasters, all the different television networks is fairly difficult, and some of the pay TV providers like Comcast have special deals with networks that may restrict what they can offer in digital. That seems to be finally falling by the wayside. But then you have other situations where a company like CBS might want to focus on offering their own $10 a month streaming service rather than license their content out to everybody else.
Do you envision a system that really seems truly a la carte?
I don't know. I mean, I think eventually, yeah, you'll be able to get all the cable channels and big broadcast networks in one package. But it strikes me as unlikely that Netflix is going to license out their premium content, or that Hulu is going to license out their premium content, or that Amazon Prime is going to. So you've kind of got this situation where you still might have to kind of buy these overlapping services depending on what content you want to get, which is definitely going to be frustrating for quite some time, I think.
Do you have any insights as to where the FCC stands on any of this?
That's going to be a big issue for whether YouTube and something like PlayStation View or Sling, that something that exists outside of Comcast, Verizon, AT&T, the big internet providers that are also big pay TV providers, whether those can succeed. So what net neutrality is this idea that internet providers shouldn't be able to slow down or speed up content or block content for any reason other than it being illegal. So for example, the idea is that Comcast shouldn't be able to slow down YouTube TV or Netflix or charge you extra to stream those shows as those services as opposed to streaming one of Comcast's own services, for example, or try to essentially penalize you into using their pay TV instead of something like Netflix or Sling TV. Right now, that's essentially illegal based off the FCC's current rules, but it looks very much like the current rules are on the chopping block. That could have a big impact on a lot of these streaming services.
Clint Finley is a writer for Wired magazine.